Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is July 27th in this year, 2021. NXT on Sci-Fi. Alfred, were you excited? We saw different commercials and promos tonight in between our NXT.
Yes, that's what I was excited about of NXT on Sci-Fi, is the various commercials that we were going to see.
That Child's Play series looks pretty dope.
It does. Listen, I grew up with Chucky. I love Chucky. I remember I went to a kid's birthday party when I was a kid, and I was too young to be watching a movie like that. And I grew up in an era where they marketed horror to kids. Like, RoboCop was a really violent movie that they sold toys for, and Chucky was one of those movies, and I was really happy to see Chucky all over the TV, so I'm going to be watching that show.
I love that you said that, because I remember Gremlins. It's like one of the first movies I remember seeing at the theater, and then I watched it recently because I consider it a Christmas movie. I watched it on Christmas time, and I'm like, this movie's super gory. Like, why was I watching this when I was a kid?
And then Phoebe Cates just brings it down with that monologue about why she doesn't celebrate Christmas. And it's like, this was a child's movie that came out at the holidays? What the heck?
The 90s were like the cool uncle would just, like, you know, let the kid watch whatever he wants and drink while he's supposed to be watching the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Vice is doing a Dark Side of the 90s series. And I watched the first one was about talk shows. Oh my God, it's so good. I'm already hooked.
Is OJ going to get an episode?
I would assume so, but this one, the talk show one, they uploaded, I don't know if the series started on the show, but they always upload one on their YouTube channel to preview the series, and it showed up on my recommended today, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Every second
of it. We got two episodes, Trash TV, that talk show, yes. The one about the Viper Room. Okay, I'm watching this. It's going to start on that.
Oh, my God, so good.
Love the 90s.
Oh, man. It was okay. They got done what they needed to get done tonight. This was a watchable episode, but it felt like they knew our viewership's going to be way down. We got the announcements of the important things that are going to happen to TakeOver. We got to get that out there. We got to set that up. We got to get the basic information to move things forward. It felt like a very serviceable episode, but not an essential episode.
I mean, yeah, that's a great description.
No, I agree. I was actually kind of frustrated watching some parts of this episode, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of things confused me on this episode. I mean, all in all, it was okay, but it was frustrating in parts.
Yeah. I mean, this opening tonight, to me, I thought was actually, this opening to me said, it's going to take people a while to figure out what channel we're on, so let's just put on a 20-minute burner of a match between Ciampa and Thatcher versus Oney Lorcan and Pete Dunne. Like, this was really good, but this didn't have to be.
That, we have to do the news, a couple of news items. Real quick, talking about NXT, you know, this is a natural transition. Karrion Kross was reportedly scheduled to lose to Jeff Hardy on Raw. Had Hardy not come down with COVID-19, which he currently has and is out for a couple of weeks, the plan, reportedly, according to Fightful Select, was for Karrion Kross to once again lose on Raw to Jeff Hardy tonight. What do you think about that, Issa?
Yeah, I heard about this, and I wasn't surprised by the news, but... I mean, that would have been I don't know. I mean, not that what they ended up doing with him was even a better idea to begin with, right? Like, I feel like they put Karrion Kross against Keith Lee on a people that should have not lost last week match. To me, it felt like a troll job. It was almost like, oh, you didn't like that we had him lose, so we're going to have him beat your other favorite. You know, like, that's what that felt like. But, yeah, I'm kind of glad they were forced to go in a different direction, and I hope that Jeff Hardy gets better soon.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
Yeah, I just didn't. I mean, it did. Who knows what would have happened? But, you know, nothing. I wouldn't have put anything past them. You know, seeing Karrion Kross in the ring with Jeff Hardy again, you know, in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, oh, man, they might beat him again. And had that happen, I mean, even him beating Keith Lee last night, like, Keith Lee was actually super popular in that match. And
yeah.
And I just didn't feel the connection with Karrion Kross. So him losing two times in his first two matches would have just, I think he's already suffered the death sentence, but that would have been it for me.
It's like they don't like the fans. The most hardcore fans.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, they do have a love-hate relationship with fans, as you saw with a recent trademark of that term. Complaining is not a conversation, I believe it was.
You don't see this with bands. Weezer doesn't go out there and say, we're just going to play Beverly Hills start to finish and piss off our hardcore audience. Like, they know you gotta serve, like, the diehards that have been down since day one. Like, those are your most important people. You got to work in some Pinkertons, a blue album, maybe some green album, maybe some B-sides. You know, you can't just go out there and play all the poppy stuff. And it's like with Vince, it's like, I've never seen it so antagonistic. Like, he hates the things that is most, that is, like, the fans that want the deep cuts, that want the continuity. He just does not give a shit about their opinion.
Yeah, and this isn't so much, I wouldn't, you know, as much as there are times where there is an antagonistic relationship, like with Karrion Kross, this isn't even like a thing where a bunch of hardcore fans are rallying around him. This is the type of guy that I think in WWE could be a mainstream guy if they took him under his wing. He does have that mainstream star appeal. That's why it confuses me so much that they're doing something with a guy like Karrion Kross, as opposed to like an Adam Cole or like, you know, Kyle O'Reilly if he would have come up. But with Karrion Kross, like, this is their prototypical guy, so I don't know who they're trying to troll.
Yeah, since day one, I always felt he felt very main roster, and I'm shocked that that's how they're treating him.
And, Natalya actually has a pretty scary moment last night on Raw. She suffered what appeared to be an ankle injury, and it has since been confirmed. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter saying that, that while it's not known what the extent of the injury is, she definitely suffered some sort of ugly ankle injury. It's not known whether or not she needs surgery. She has kind of intimated that she's not taken any days off, but if you watch the match last night with Doudrop, when she was having her interactions, they were rolling around and something went wrong, to where you could see her getting out of the ring, and a medical official tended to her. She had to limp out of the arena. So a really tough woman to be able to kind of, not necessarily finish the match, but she was all smiles walking out of that ring, albeit she was limping. But Natalya might be out for a while, but we're not so sure when. Did you see that injury last night, Issa?
I did see it, and it made me realize that Natalya is always here, right? She doesn't get hurt. It like shocked me, because I was like, Natalya is somebody that's always there, right? One of their most reliable stars. So you never want to see anybody get injured. That was a scary spot. But yeah, like you said, this woman has been carrying out, and she's still smiling at the fans. And I was like, what a legend. I hope it's nothing serious and she gets to come back soon.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then let's talk about the hottest champion in wrestling right now, Matt Cardona, the former Zack Ryder, your GCW World Heavyweight Champion, recently appeared on a Busted Open radio show. I mean, this guy is hot, hot, hot. Anything with Matt Cardona in it has just been moving in terms of the internet talking. In his most recent comments, he was talking about some texts and some tweets that he's been seeing of fans from GCW, which is, you know, a Game Changer Wrestling's very hardcore deathmatch style. They made Nick Gage famous. You saw that Dark Side of the Ring. And he's been saying that he's been getting messages from fans saying that they wanted Nick Gage to kill Chelsea Green, who is his real-life girlfriend.
Good Lord.
If you saw that viral clip, he won the GCW championship, and those fans immediately started throwing bottles into the ring. It was almost a riot scene. What do you guys make of this whole movement for GCW right now?
I think this is the most I've ever seen GCW being talked about. I love seeing it across my timeline. I was considering going to the show, and I was like, you know what, maybe... I was like, I regretted it because the show was really good. I watched it. But then once I saw the ending, I was like, yeah, I'm better off watching it from here, you know, to come from my own home, not getting anything thrown on me.
It's that antithesis of it, right? It's like there's a certain protectionism of hardcore fans of anything that wants it to be more exclusive rather than inclusive. Like they see that as their thing. And I think that if other people appreciate it on their terms, that would be acceptable. But you have someone who's seen as like a carpetbagger coming in. And former Matt Cardona, who no disrespect at all, I think it's amazing what he did, but I could see where they would see a former WWE guy comes in, steals the thunder of the hardcore fans. It's like when Katy Perry was on the Warped Tour that year. Some of the kids were like, what the heck? But it brings more attention to it. You know, that's the thing. So good for Matt.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. They have to be ready for this because now you're having wrestling Chris Jericho tomorrow. Like GECW is going to be exposed to a whole new audience. They did it with Matt Cardona, and now they're doing it all over again tomorrow. So I do feel that the hardcore fans have to be ready for a lot of casuals starting to tune in. And they booked a show in Chicago for All Out Weekend. So they're going to have that AEW audience probably kind of like come over there and see what's up. They have to be ready for that. But it was a visual. Seeing Matt Cardona with that shirt red that started white, like there was just something about that show. I really enjoyed it. And good for Matt Cardona. I like what he's doing.
Yeah, and you're onto something, Issa, because this is very shrewd promoter, Carney-type booking in that before, like, they're going to be on a national spotlight with their most famous wrestler on AEW now before a huge audience. You've got this big story that you could argue is even bigger than the fact that Nick Gage is going to go face Chris Jericho because of just how much attention it's getting. And yes, there's going to be a lot of like casual attention, and I'm all for that aspect of it as long as they know how to kind of balance that out. The thing with GCW is GCW is so close to being real in terms of them wrestling. I don't know if you saw those sheets that were all bloody from Zack Ryder's room that they had to tip off the waitresses or the maids that this.
They better. That was gross. They didn't need to do that.
So it's so like realistic. They do that, like a lot of these fans are now going to think it's real. They're fans who think WWE is real and how angry they get about it. So these GCW fans are another level because of how realistic it is, I think. But I love it. I'm going to be at No Signal in the Hills GCW August 7th, my first pandemic show. I bought those tickets before this even happened, so now I'm even more excited. I don't support people throwing stuff into the ring. I really, you know, think that was kind of lowbrow, but I do support how hot GCW has gotten. I've heard nothing but good things about their shows, and I cannot wait until, you know, I go to August 7th. Come say hi if you're in LA at No Signal in the Hills.
I'm excited. I feel it's such a fun time for wrestling again, right? Like we're seeing all of these promotions get the exposure and just a different kind of excitement and so many alternatives for all fans. This is a really, really good time for wrestling fans.
And then final story, quickly, Raw rating was down. Of course, it had a big jump for its return to live fans with 1.923 the week before. But last night, Raw drew 1.814 million. So it looks like that ceiling has been set at about just under 2 million. You know, you got John Cena back. It's pretty much all hands on deck. A lot of returns expected. But it looks like Raw is going to be hovering around that 2 million range. I actually think it's kind of disappointing based on the fact that all hands are back on deck.
I did not watch Raw last night, and it didn't seem like it was hot on Twitter.
Yeah, but the Olympics are also on right now, and there was a couple of good swimming competitions last night. I found myself flipping the channel when there was a couple of competitions that I really wanted to keep my eye on. So I will say, given the fact that they were competing with the Olympics, I didn't think that was that bad of a drop, especially because they didn't even give John Cena or Goldberg on last night's show.
Well, or maybe like me, some wrestling fans were on Disney Plus watching 1993's Life with Mikey starring Michael J. Fox with a good cameo, Jeff Jarrett and Jerry the King Lawler.
Really?
And Cyndi Lauper's in it. Life with Mikey is an underrated film, one of Michael J. Fox's better movies.
Life with Mikey.
It plays a former child star who becomes a talent agent struggling.
I've got a lot of 90s stuff to watch now.
Yeah, it's very good. Oh, I got the one for you. I'll talk about it later. I don't want to derail the show, but I watched something today that blew my mind that I'd never seen before. A movie that I'd heard of, I dismissed, and then I watched it today. I was like, wow. What else we got in the news?
That's the news.
Black Star Johnny Hex, 499. Joey, the former drummer of Slipknot, passed away. He was one of the family members. Slipknot, talk about bringing the wrestling energy to music. One of the all-time great theatrical bands. And I've said this before, I bought the t-shirt and the album not even hearing it. I was like, I saw what these guys looked like. I was like, I'm in. I am into this.
Amazing. I could see the wrestling parallels, very Legion of Doom-like with the, you know, the pageantry that they bring.
Such a badass visual look to the band. I think their music is a little hit or miss for me, but I think there's a huge crossover with wrestling there. Bands like them, Kiss, Insane Clown Posse, GWAR, like they get that theatrical visual look. And rest in peace to Joey from Slipknot. Let's see what else. So NXT tonight, as I said, people were trying to find the channel. So they said, Ciampa, Thatcher, Lorcan, Pete Dunne, just go out there and tear it up for 20 minutes. Issa, what'd you think of this opening match?
I mean, it was a lot of fun. Ciampa was doing all of this stuff. I was like, where is he getting all this energy from? He looked amazing. Again, I miss Ciampa feeling a little bit more relevant, because I miss, like, the way that he's been wrestling his last few matches. Like, it makes me almost want to see him as a singles wrestler again. It was a fun match. I thought they started the show hot. Maybe they did it like what Glenn said, to kind of like let everybody find the right channel, but I was not mad at this match at all. I had a lot of fun watching it. I thought everybody looked great.
Yes, this is an excellent wrestling match. And I will say, you know, it was harder to really kind of invest in it emotionally. And just as I was, you know, throughout this match, I was like, okay, this is good. These guys are working real hard. I agree, Tommaso Ciampa was on fire in this match. But I was telling myself, like, I can only get so excited for that. And then they brought out Ridge Holland, and I just thought it was very well done in terms of him returning. And I think he's going to fit right in. But that's exactly what Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan needed. If they're not going to break up, is a heater like Ridge Holland. So I'm right back into this feud in terms of Ridge Holland coming back. And I thought it was really well done how they just made him look like a monster all over again.
Perfect time to bring him back, right? Because he was not in the back of your mind. You kind of like, I don't want to say forgot about him, but it's not somebody that you were saying, oh, he's coming back soon, or nothing have been rumored. So it felt like a really good, feel good return where it wasn't spoiler any. Well, if you didn't watch the spoilers from last week, right? but it's just good to see him again.
We went from that. We had Samoa Joe arriving. We had Hit Row building up tonight. But let's talk about Joe's promo in the ring, calling out Cross and saying he's resigning from his role in security and he wants to be an active part of the roster again, and signing a match for TakeOver 36 against Karrion Kross for the NXT title. So, Alfred, you hyped for this?
I really am. I think this is going to be great. I love Samoa Joe in this segment, but it was kind of funny how he comes out. He's piping mad. He's, you know, Samoa Joe's got the greatest facial, so he's just pissed off. But he's got all of his paperwork in order. Like, he's just like, he's mad, and he's just so pissed. But he's like, but I've got three requests. Step one, I want you to resign me. I want you to resign, and I want to sign a match. He's got all, he's like, if the Incredible Hulk turned into a paralegal. He's just like
the Grey Hulk. Stuff
in order. But I really like how this was done, and I like that we're going to get Samoa Joe versus Karrion Kross. The fans were very hyped for it, and it just kind of told me, I'm kind of disappointed they're going to do this in the CWC. Like, NXT's got to get out of the CWC for these big-time shows they're going to have, because it really looks like they're peaking toward a big show. They made an announcement later on in the night with Walter and Ilya Dragunov that I just think some of these matches would be so much fun in front of even, like, a smaller Full Sail crowd.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, agreed. I loved everything about this segment. I thought Samoa Joe was perfect. Also, to Alfred's point, I see Samoa Joe as somebody that wouldn't delegate, because he's that much of a perfectionist. So he's not going to have anybody check his paperwork, or he's going to take on everything himself. Yeah. So, like, I absolutely loved everything that he said. I love how ready he was. I love how Regal was like, YOLO. You know, like, he didn't care. And yeah, I am so excited, but I'm almost more excited to see Samoa Joe wrestle like a bunch of other people. So, like, yeah, I'm excited to see him get a go against Cross, but I kind of almost want to move on from that, because there's so many stare downs that he's had that have me so hyped that I just want to see. I have Samoa Joe booked, fantasy booked in my brain for like the next 10 takeovers.
He also has a Provoke Me t-shirt.
I know.
I think it's going to be hype. I think TakeOver 36 is going to be packed. They're really, really putting it all in there. It'll be interesting to see what capacity will have a crowd for that show. But, I mean, this is going to feel like the big big-time takeovers are back, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it'll feel big-time when – well, it won't feel like a big-time takeover until they get into an arena, because at NXT's peak, they're selling out like 12,000-seat arenas for these takeovers, and that's something I feel that they can still do. I'm like, if they piggybacked on one of these big pay-per-view weekends, but it's going to be a good show. I'm very much looking forward to it already.
They sold out Amway on WrestleMania 33, so I don't understand why they – I mean, maybe not right now, but I can see them – if they don't want to get out of Florida or Orlando with NXT, there's so many arenas in that area that they could rent out just to get out of the CWC. I do think the CWC is hurting NXT a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But it's something that I'm willing to move past that. I just don't – I don't know. There's something about the crowd. Maybe it's so small, but it's a little bit of a negative for me when it comes to NXT right now.
I think it's just jarring that we're watching these shows. Like, you'll watch Raw and you got all these people going crazy and the product's like hot and the crowds are hot. And then like immediately the next day it's NXT. And it just still reminds me of that pandemic era viewing, that it kind of brings the show down.
And they're in Florida.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, Florida.
They'll let you fill up an arena in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, they'll kick you out if you're wearing a mask. Call you a wuss. No, I think, it is a little strange that they're not embracing more of that. But, I mean, but tonight, man, for as small as a crowd as it was tonight, there was energy. There was a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know, Van Dam Pick-a-Hand. Oh, Van Dam Pick-a-Hand. I got it. $5. Gordon Sully's ghost approves of Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross going head-to-head. I'm off to the airplane loo with a white towel and a cigarette.
Deep RVD reference over there. I like that.
Yeah. Then, oh, the Cameron Grimes LA Knight stuff tonight. I mean, there was ball washing. But no, what'd you think of these segments on the golf course, Alfred?
They went a little crazy with the puns, but I didn't. I mean, it was like some of the best after school programming I've ever seen, because they had that thing with Ted DiBiase. That was my favorite part of it, where he showed up on the golf cart and just came. And I was hoping, and I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, that like he would turn and Ted DiBiase would be gone, and like he's the only person who saw Ted. But I really like what they're doing with this. I like the on-location. I think the production continues to be really, really good with these segments. And both guys are doing a good job with you know, their swings are awful in terms of golf swings, but that makes it funnier. And I think it's very funny.
Oh, yes, I love everything about all of these segments. The ball washing will forever be a meme. I already seen it used in completely different contexts all over my timeline. I love the idea of the on location back on, you know, the CWC, because they did the one at the house, then they kind of wrestle. Now they're back at the golf course. It's the best way to keep this fresh, but I think these two guys will make it work no matter where you film it. This was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was really good. Second funniest thing I watched today. NXT Breakout Tournament first round match. Josh Briggs versus Carmelo Hayes. Man, Carmelo Hayes is a superstar.
I agree. Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm watching this. I had no idea he was that small. I thought that he would be kind of comparable. I really wasn't paying attention, I guess, to the sizes when they ran them down. But I think it's because he's got a great build, but he's got like 6'7" charisma. So I just assumed he was this taller guy. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see him win this. Like, I'm a fan of a lot of these big guys coming into NXT and adding some diversity of the body types in NXT. But I assume that this is just going to be another big guy running through a little guy, as we've seen for a couple of weeks now. And Carmelo Hayes not only won, he won clean. This is more of a showcase for Hayes, and I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I kind of figure in regards to his size, because he fought for the Cruiserweight title, remember?
Yes.
So that kind of like give you a hint. But regardless, once I saw who he was wrestling, I was a little bit worried that he was going to lose tonight, because I really like, out of all of these guys, he's got the most experience. We're the most familiar with him. So I would definitely try to go very far into the tournament with him. The matches so far have been a lot of fun. Yeah. But Carmelo Hayes, I will say, has been the one that I kind of like will have been invested, because we've seen him on TV recently. Yeah. So this one even more fun to watch, you know. But yeah, overall, a lot of fun. Loving this tournament. I hope they do something with, and I apologize, I forgot his name, the guy that he wrestled. What's his name?
Oh,
thank you. I can't pronounce it. That's probably why. But I hope they do something with him, because he's so impressive size-wise. He almost looks out of place in NXT. So I hope they do a lot with him.
I want to talk about Frankie Monet and what's going on there. This promo, man, like, I thought her mixing with the Robert Stone brand was going to kind of provide her a little bit of backing and a platform. But the way this all went tonight was very unexpected. We had her backstage talking about teaming with Jessica Maia, and then Kaden Carter and Casey Cannizzaro interrupted, setting up a match for later in the night. We saw more in the golf course with Ted DiBiase appearing before Cameron Grimes. Man, I mean, this rematch, if this happens in front of a crowd, is going to be off the hook at TakeOver 36.
Yeah. So the match with Frank and Monet, are we at that?
No, because they set that up in the interview backstage.
That's right. They did do the interview backstage. Yeah, that was kind of – yeah, that's what was the most frustrating part, and I guess we'll get into more, was with everything they did with Frankie Monet today really made me scratch my head.
Yeah, I mean – So, I mean, let's talk quickly about – Raquel Gonzalez out there with Dakota Kai, and interesting build how Gonzalez is talking about everyone she's beat, best NXT women's champion ever, most dominant. They're hyping up, they're name dropping Asuka, Charlotte. I thought, and I don't know if you thought, I thought Sasha's music was going to hit and we were going to get Raquel versus Sasha takeover, right? Because the way they were building that, it was like, it's a matter of time. And Dakota did sell like, oh, I've got your back. We're like a team. And then Dakota attacking her is one thing. But I mean, it'll be good. I don't know. Are you super hyped for this, Issa, for Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez at takeover?
I am. I liked the promo that Dakota Kai cut tonight, and I didn't see it that way. The whole time I knew what she was hinting at, just because she kept saying you owe this only to one woman, and then she said, as long as I have your back, you will be champion. As soon as she said that, I was like, it's happening. Yep. It's happening, because she's basically saying this reign is thanks to her, you know. I love seeing this side of Dakota Kai. I really like her, and I feel like she's kind of like done a good job at taking the back seat and letting Raquel shine. So I'm super, super excited for this. And the crowd, you could tell when she, you know, when she betrayed Raquel, everybody was really into that moment. We've all been expecting it, but it still doesn't make it, you know, not interesting when it finally happens. I didn't think that we're going to do it this soon. Yeah. I still think that there's other people that Raquel could wrestle before she got to Dakota, but maybe the Dakota saving her and interfering is starting to get a little old when it comes to Raquel's title reign. So maybe that's why they pulled the plug on this now.
Alfred, do you think Dakota wins it to take over?
That's interesting. I don't think it's a lock that Raquel Gonzalez holds on to that title, because SmackDown's going under kind of a reboot with the women's division. They're going to have that Queen of the Ring tournament. We still don't know who's going to be in it. And I could see Raquel Gonzalez being somebody who gets called up within the next couple of months. So maybe Dakota Kai does win that match. Right now, I'll say that Raquel Gonzalez wins. I just love the mistrust that is built in whenever there's friends, because just like you, Issa, when I heard her say, this is my best friend, that's when I was like, oh, here it comes. And I stayed away from the spoilers. I know they're out there, but I wanted to kind of be fresh in how I reacted to this. And so when she said best friend, I just kind of, my dog ears went up, like, oh. And then when like, the music to their, I like how they did it, because they played her music and I was like, okay, maybe they'll wait for another week. And then it just came. And I really don't think it is too soon, because every single week of them appearing on camera together, they've done something where it's, and I'm sure they're going to play it up in the video trailer for this feud. They've done something subtle where either Dakota Kai will give her a look, or like there was that one week where Xia Li walked right past Dakota Kai and she's like, wait, I'm standing right here. And she went straight to Raquel. So there's all these little hints where Raquel makes some comment and Dakota will give, like, roll her eyes in the background. And I think they're going to start like putting those together so that you can see all the pieces of how this led to this. But I think they've done a good job suddenly building the tension between these two.
And hey, you know, tonight they actually did a really good job of, I think, laying a lot of groundwork for the NXT women's division. We saw Mandy Rose backstage talking with Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. They didn't really say what they were talking about or what was going on, but they're building stuff there. We saw this next match, the tag division. We had Io Shirai and Zoe Stark in training in a little vignette backstage. There's a lot going on, but Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro versus Frankie Monet and Jesse Kamea. Was this Frankie Monet's first loss since debuting in NXT?
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it.
And it shouldn't have happened.
In a tag team match with Jesse Kamea as her tag team partner, with all due respect to Jesse Kamea, she could have taken that loss. Like, there's no reason for Frankie Monet to lose his match.
For Casey Catanzaro, I mean, Casey hasn't really been on a push. She had that great Rumble spot, and then she was in, and then she was out. She was away for a while. Like, I worry that this signals that they're dropping the ball on Frankie. I know they're setting up some drama with her and the Robert Stone brand, her being mad at him tonight, but she is better than this. Like, she seemed like she was on the fast track to the NXT Women's Championship, or at least the main event spotlight, and I don't know why they're putting her in the muck and the mire here.
1000% agree. I don't think that Frankie should have lost, and I think that they teased so many possibilities of feuds with Frankie when she first was showing up before we saw her in the ring, and they haven't like really executed in any of them. She called out Mercedes Martinez, she called out Raquel, she called out Io, and then they're going in this direction with her. I just think it doesn't make her shine. There's just something about this that's not working for me. And this was even during the interview. This was even before watching her having to lose that match, which it infuriates me. I think she has like star power written all over her. And I think she could be in the title picture if you would have kept pushing her the way you were pushing her. She was squashing people out there every week. And now she's doing this. I don't understand when it happened, you know, and I told you guys, like, I think it was last week when she came out after Aaliyah had her moment, or 2 weeks ago, it felt weird to me. And maybe it was just premonition of what was to come, because I don't like this at all. I hope they go I hope they go somewhere with it, or she walks away because, you know, kind of like Aaliyah did. Yeah, you guys are not worth it.
She could be main roster bound. I could see Vince seeing something in her.
I hope that's what's behind it. But even that, the biggest hangup that I have with this is that they're heating her up. They're treating her like this great big star. She is getting a series of squash wins. She didn't even get that first actual feud with somebody else who's like of her level, to where she could either win that match, or maybe she does lose that match. But there is like a lot of intrigue in something like that. And now she's suddenly being knocked down a peg to where it's not going to mean as much, I don't think.
You could have put her in a one-on-one feud with Io.
Yeah.
And not put Io in the tag team division. They could have a non-title feud. They could have, I mean, there's so much you could have done with her. I just didn't like this, and hopefully they change creative on this.
Yeah, I mean, they're making it seem like, I mean, the Robert Stone brand was doing fine on its own. Like, I don't think this is 1+1=2. I feel like this is 1+1 keeps both at one. Yes. Yeah, it's just not, it's not working. Steve Marcuccioli, 399, saying better chance to main event at WrestleMania, Cross or Priest. Well,
they're doing everything right with Priest now. I mean, he didn't have that ugly loss to the Miz, but he's kind of being on the track to where he's probably going to beat Sheamus for that U.S. title, and who knows from there. So Priest is now in the lead, I'll say.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, he definitely looked a lot better than Cross last night. And Cross, they both got a win, but I felt Priest was more significant.
Robert Martinez, 299, NXT on Sunday night, Heat Basura.
Basura, it's trash.
Basura.
I took Spanish and French, 2 years each. Don't remember any of it.
Yeah. I took 4 years, 5 years of Spanish. And not,
wow.
Not really good.
I had to look up the lyrics, the translations to Menudo songs that I've learned phonetically.
Can we get a Menudo reference every single week?
We could. We absolutely could. Issa on the Menudo fan page, Project M was posting they did Burger King commercial in Puerto Rico in the late 80s.
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking I got to dive deep into Project M. Now, Project M was three of the Golden Age era of Menudo that when they aged out of the group went and formed their own group in their late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, because aging out of Menudo was like 16-year-old. You're too old for Menudo. You got to go.
I wonder who's had better careers, like former Menudo members or former NXT roster members? Kind of tough when you weigh it.
Some former Menudo members. Ricky Martin was a Menudo member, and look at him.
Yes. Wow. Johnny doing his hosting stuff on Telemundo on the morning show. So we had a sit-down interview with Malcolm Bivens and Roderick Strong of the Diamond Mine. Feeling this? Feeling Roderick Strong? Feeling Roddy?
I mean, if this seems so cold and there was nothing. You know, I'll tell you what my favorite part of the segment was, is when Malcolm Bivens asks Wade Barrett, he goes, "Hey, Wade, do you like money?" And Wade was like, "I love money." I love money.
But that's not good. That's not good. That is not good. Okay.
Yeah, I completely, like, I don't even know how it happened. Do you ever, like, you see it on the TV, but you don't remember anything about the segment or the moment? You know, like, right before I sit down to, like, talk to you guys, I'm like, okay, this happened. And I literally said to myself, what, was the Diamond Mine on tonight? Yeah. And now that you say that, I was like, well, I guess they were, and I must have been scrolling or doing something else. Definitely do not remember it. That goes to tell you something.
Yeah.
They need to just find out, like, what, because I don't think him feuding with Bobby Fish is going to be the answer. There just needs, because I hear, you're just hearing all these stories that they've got big plans for Roderick Strong, this Cruiserweight title. They just need to fast track him to like a one-on-one Cruiserweight championship feud. So there's a reason as to why they're fighting, and maybe that'll make the promos and all this better. But I just don't get this Diamond Mine thing at this point.
Well, they got new shirts on the shop.
No, they did. At least they're pushing merch.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki Ash doesn't have any merch, and Diamond Mine does. So there goes, that's a sign.
They're saving it for Halloween. There's gonna be Nikki Ash costumes. That would be a waste. If they don't have Nikki Ash costumes for Halloween, which is just around the corner, that would be a waste.
So, Dragunov versus Walter, TakeOver 36 for the NXT UK Championship. They re-showed the video they showed last week. That's going to be huge.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm so hyped.
Imperium versus Hit Row tonight. And Imperium getting the win, but yeah. Legado del Fantasma making the attack after. What'd you think of this whole match, Alfred, to you first?
I mean, this is another point of frustration for me in that I didn't think Hit Row needed to lose, and I get it that they're trying to build this feud with Legado del Fantasma, but I wouldn't agree with them losing to Imperium, who they're literally doing nothing with. Yeah. But I will say I love Top Dollar in this match. I mean, maybe it wasn't as... You know, people are going to complain about him technically sound. He probably has more to do in terms of getting his ring work ready. But I thought what he did in this match in terms of charisma-wise, and even his moves looked very impressive for such a big guy flying around there. I thought he looked like a superstar in this match. I loved Top Dollar in this match, but I did not like the finish at all.
Yeah, same. I agree with you. I thought Top Dollar. After a match finishes, I always wonder, especially a tag match, who did I pay attention to the most? Who captivated me, right? And I thought that Top Dollar was the guy tonight in that match. Hated the finish in the exact same head scratching as the Frankie Monet thing. It felt like a little bit of Monday Night Raw hungover, like happened on NXT, where people that shouldn't be losing are taking L's for no reason. I don't want Hit Row to lose. And like you said, this is a feud that doesn't feel like it's even significant. There's no titles involved. There's no nothing. So why are they losing to Imperium? I don't know. But
and it was to Marcel and Eichner. I mean, this is the Joey Fatone and Chris Kirkpatrick of Imperium.
I can't win.
Does that make Walter Walter's Timberlake? Okay, I was gonna say Lance.
Walter's Timberlake, JC Chazet, and Lance Bass. That's how.
Yeah, he's all of them. Like he. Ate all three of them.
You would beat all three of them at once. Don't act like you won't.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%.
I don't know. JT's wiry, man. I'm predicting that. But yeah, I mean, look, this is really about Hit Row and Phantasma, so we'll see what happens. This was good. This was my second favorite thing on the show tonight, the backstage with Gargano, Candice LeRae, and Indy Hartwell, essentially setting up a match where Gargano versus Dexter. And basically, you know, Indy says, hey, you got to give him a chance if Dexter beats you.
Yeah, love her or leave her. Love her or leave her, actually, is what they're saying. So this will be fun.
My God. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is. But why are they like her parents or something? Like, why is Gargano fighting for? Like, it feels weird, but I hope, I cannot wait. I hope Dexter wins, obviously. Yeah,
the way is a little bit forever. Like a, the way is a little bit like a cult in some senses.
Yeah, they do present them like a family. Like Gargano and Candice are the parents. They just have their son run away from home. Like he packed his stuff, ran away from home. And then they've got the petulant daughter who has a crush on a boy that they don't approve of.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly how it is.
Can't go wrong with that. And then back on the golf course, $1 million champion, LA Knight and his caddy slash butler, Cameron Grimes, interrupted by the grizzled young veterans who caught up to him on the course. And they were doing bets over shots, golf shots. Do you think they're going to set up an odd couple tag team?
If it wasn't for Ted DiBiase appearing, which that's going to be the thread to him turning and doing a feud, that's what this looked like. And the more I see them together, they just have so much chemistry as a pair that I think we should see a tag team between these two at some point. I thought they were great. And the outfits were just so ridiculous for both guys. Like, I love the wearing those cowboy boots and green socks on the course. And then LA Knight just those ridiculously, like, booty shorts that, like, showed off his quads and whatnot. I just thought they looked so ridiculous. This is, like, grade-A comedy. I really do think it's, like, legitimately funny.
Yeah, it is. I will show it to other people. Like, that's how funny these segments are. Like, you have to check this out, right? I thought they were going in that direction as well, Glenn. I had a sense of, are they going to make them a tag team at some point? Maybe not immediately, but I have a feeling that at some point they're going to tag together. And now that you mentioned the outfits, it makes me wonder what LA and I will make Cameron Grimes wear if they're a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, because he's been dressing him. Remember, he dressed him as a butler, and he dressed him today. So he's probably going to have to pick his wrestling gear if they're tagging together.
Oh, that'd be great.
So immediately before NXT tonight, I'd never seen this before. I'd never seen this movie. I was familiar with it, but I didn't really know what it was about. But I was reading something online that was saying, if you've never seen the 1994 Martin Short, Charles Grodin movie Clifford, like, this is batshit insane. Where Martin Short, at 40 years old, played a petulant 10-year-old boy terrorizing his uncle, played by Charles Grodin. And Martin Short, at 40, And so I was like, I've never seen this movie. People are like, no, you have to see this. This is like brilliant and batshit crazy. We put it on and it was so goddamn funny and weird because, I mean, they literally shot this Martin Short at 40 playing a 10-year-old. And it's got kind of like a bad seed connotation. So he's like an evil kid who keeps trying to like get revenge on his uncle. It was freaking nuts. That was the funniest thing I saw today.
Martin Short is pound for pound one of the funniest human beings on the planet. Jiminy Glick, to me, is like a top five television character for me.
You need to watch this movie if you're a Martin Short fan. Absolutely. And Charles Grodin, frustrated Charles Grodin is just comedic gold. This was so good. So just opening, how have I never seen it? Wasn't sure what it was. I was aware. I wasn't aware he actually played a child in the movie, and that's just what made it for me. And Dabney Coleman was in it, who was always a delight.
I saw that movie already, but it's been so long since I've seen it that now you're so making weird. Me curious. I might have to check it out.
Such a weird movie.
That it was really funny. I've just never seen it. I'll definitely watch it.
It's just amazing that somebody made this. I'm like, we're going to have an adult play a child and just treat it that way. But tonight, let's talk about the main event. Bronson Reed taking on Adam Cole. Adam Cole, the Luther Campbell of Undisputed Era out there tonight.
There you go. Uncle and, Lou.
Yes, Uncle Lou. Well, he really was the talent of the group.
He was.
Which is really weird when you think about it, because like Luke didn't really rap. Luke just
he was the hype man. You know, he was kind of the flavor a little bit. Did you know the parental advisory sticker is because pretty much of 2 Live Crew?
Yes.
Anytime you see that. And if you see a parental advisory, like growing up in the 90s hip-hop, I wouldn't buy an album unless it had the parental advisory sticker on it.
I knew a kid whose parents bought him As Clean As They Want to Be. That was a sad young man that was living that lifestyle, listening to the clean version of Me So Horny.
Oh,
that's horrible. That should be illegal.
It should.
Favorite deep cut on the 2 Live Crew records, which I surprisingly owned a lot of, because I mean, let's face it, like, not really the greatest music, but there are things that's fun to listen to, and you're like, yeah, I'm into it. The I Ain't Bullshitting series, where Luther Campbell, like four parts, just like reads from his enemies list and talks shit about people over beat, doesn't even make it rhyme, doesn't even rap, and he tries to code it. Like, let's talk about things you find on your table, like pepper and salt, or kids that play, and it's just like, he puts in all this effort to sit there and talk smack. It is the secret gem of the 2 Live Crew records.
Absolutely. There's a lot of gems, too. They're like what the Migos is now, I think. It's like not necessarily going to make you think. It's not deep, but it's good music that makes you have a good time.
Right. And sometimes that's all we need.
Yeah.
If you put on It's Your Birthday, like, you know, or Scarred, or actually your solo stuff. I listen to solo stuff more than I do the 2 Live Crew songs, believe me.
Yeah.
And why did he never find the merchandising opportunity to open a Pacific Rim influenced restaurant called Hey, We Want Some Sushi? I just think that's printing money right there.
There you go. There's your next investment opportunity.
The Miso Hungry special. You could do so much with this.
There is an NXT that goes, Hey, we want some Bayley.
I remember that. Oh, shit. I'd forgotten about that. Because that was short-lived, though. They didn't do that.
Yeah, they didn't do that for too long.
Because I think somebody was kind of like, someone was like, we probably shouldn't do that. We probably shouldn't encourage this. People are going to Google this. It's not going to go well.
Right.
Bronson Reed versus Adam Cole. Oh man, I don't want Bronson Reed to lose. Like, Adam didn't need this win.
Yeah, remember those rumors of like Bronson Reed, he's going to the main roster, that's why he lost that title. Didn't that seem like so long ago? Because I don't know what's going on with this guy now.
Well, he doesn't care about the fact that he lost his title, apparently. Like, he lost it and he went to Adam Cole. Like, he's not even trying to get his title back. Also, he was tweeting at Roman Reigns, talking about maybe you guys need an Intercontinental Champion. Like, you're not going to join the Bloodline acting this way, bro. Like, you really think the Tribal Chief wants to somebody that's taking pins on Tuesday nights? I don't think so. it was even when the match started at what? Like, 9 minutes before it was supposed to end?
Because
they weren't... Yeah, which was weird to me for an Adam Cole match, because when Adam Cole main events, I'm like, they give him time, you know? But this show was a little bit cramped. Like, they put a lot into this show, which, okay, I mean, for it being in sci-fi, I thought they were going to not even try, but they didn't do that. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with him. Maybe he didn't want to go to the main roster. Now he's paying the price. But to me, this doesn't make any sense. It made me scratch my head too, because he should be trying to get his title back. Or I don't even understand why he's going after Adam Cole. And don't even get me started with the ending, because I'm kind of over Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Very, very much over this feud. I have a feeling we're going to get the third installment at the next
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that either. And it, just based on this crowd reaction, this match, they're just going back and forth in terms of mostly chanting for Adam Cole, which, because this, they haven't really established what the heat is between these two guys. Why should they be rooting for Bronson Reed over Adam Cole? What are they fighting over? This has been the problem with Adam Cole's feuds lately. It's like, it's a lot of wrestling for the sake of wrestling. And they even booed Kyle O'Reilly when he came back. And I know that is like continuity, because that's what Adam Cole did, but that was so long ago. And they seem like they did resolve that problem. So it did seem kind of cheap for O'Reilly to come out there. And I don't even know myself if Kyle O'Reilly is supposed to be the heel or not in this match, because he's doing this like new character where he's snapping all the time. And he's very Ken Shamrock like.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I really wonder what stipulation can you give them at this point to make this match interesting or to get us back into it? Because after that unsanctioned match, and then they have what, like a regular wrestling match, it's just like, what are you going to do now? What can you do? They're going to kill it. They're good wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. Sure. But it's just like, I felt so over it when I saw him come out. I'm like, please, not again. Yeah.
I mean, I feel it's going to be a little too much of just that hard-hitting belt-to-belt action, because already you're going to have the NXT UK Championship on there. You're going to have Samoa Joe versus Cross. Actually, that might be a little different. That could be more condensed brutality. Like, but it, you know what I mean? Like, that won't be as much of a technical. Well, it won't be a technical wrestling match. Like, that'll just be a little more hard-hitting.
Rampage.
Yeah, but you put KOR versus Cole 3 on there. Like, I don't know. Like, I like when they mix up the cards and give us a different style of match.
Well, this match needs a stipulation. Whether it's a steel cage or even, I mean, we've been saying this for a while, loser leaves town. There needs to be some major stipulation that tells you this is the last time they're going to face off, and the winner of this match is going to be the person who stands tall and moves on.
Make it a Hell in a Cell. Have they done Hell in a Cell
yet? No, I don't think they ever have. I don't know. Well, if they're doing it in the CWC, I don't think they could. That Hell in a Cell might be bigger than the CWC itself.
They've done steel cage.
Put it outside.
Yeah. There you go.
Put it outside. Yeah. Listen, the parking lot is the most dangerous place there anyway, so you might as well. Oh, maybe that's it. A parking lot match.
They did that last year, remember? The one with the cars all surrounded?
Oh, yeah,
last match. Oh, no, he had a couple matches after that, but that was, one of his last matches.
No, but it's a parking lot match, and you have Karrion Kross pull in for his match with Samoa Joe. He doesn't see them and run them over, and then the match is over. Everybody loses. Everybody leaves town.
It's just done by double homicide. Smack it over everybody.
Something about Kyle O'Reilly's hair just like this response in me of like the kid with the illegal fireworks, like who was like smoking across the street from your elementary school, not even high school, elementary school. Like he's got that haircut, right?
I just saw my childhood friend Brad Weber. That's how he was, that kid. He had a pit bull and everything. Shout out to Brad Weber.
Yeah, it's like you spend the night at his house and his parents were somehow never home, you know?
I don't know. He gives me the vibes of the person that would throw something at the ring when Matt Cardona wins.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's what I get from Kyle.
He gives me GCW fan vibes.
I gotta say though, it's like I think about all this, and even with its flaws, this is why I love NXT, because it's like on SmackDown, I've got no affection for like Dolph and Bobby Roode, you know, and their thing, or like the Otis and Chad thing is just kind of like, I mean, I like Chad Gable a lot and I want better for Otis. But it's like, even with NXT, even when we like poke fun at some of this stuff, there's that feeling of ownership because like we've been following these guys and coming up with them, you know?
Yeah, right. That's a good point. And I think part of it is because they've been there for so long, but it does have more of a feel of like characters on a television show.
Yeah. Yeah, which is weird too, right? Because on SmackDown, you'd think broadcast TV. But I think on SmackDown, it's more show don't tell, where they just think, well, the Dirty Dogs can show up and you know what these guys are all about.
Right.
It was like they almost don't want to put in the work. They just want to be like, it's very surface.
So you didn't pop for the Dirty Dogs trying to steal Baron Corbin's $60 last Friday?
Part I did, but they could have been anyone.
It's still living rent-free in my brain, the way that they just like ripped that money off his hand.
I've been thinking about this Baron Corbin thing, though, and I think that they do have to kind of, like, I watched that backstage interview, and this is what I worry about. There was something inherently funny in the concept of punching up, and you have somebody that was rich that goes from riches to rags. That has always been funny in comedy. I worry, though, because it's Vince, like, I don't want it to become making fun of poverty or poor people, because that's just kind of shitty, you know? Like, so I think when they have Baron talk about his high life he was living, like the Wagyu beef to spaghetti in a can, that's one thing. But I do worry how much further they push in that direction before it's like, okay, maybe this isn't so funny or cool anymore.
I don't think it's going to go there just because of the way that Baron Corbin is doing it. Even in that backstage promo, you can just see that his version of poverty is just, I don't know, living in New York City. Well, you know? So it's just like, what are you doing? Like, I don't see it that way. I really love that backstage interview a lot. Like, you can see how committed Baron Corbin is to this right now.
Well, the Bitcoin thing was genius, how they tied that in. If you haven't seen that, go on WWE Social and watch that. It was very well done. But yeah, I just worry, like, what Vince finds funny about this might not actually be what other people are finding as funny about this.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of veering toward them. I think the way this could go left, and I love it so far, and I think it's going to really turn Baron Corbin into a babyface, and I think he's doing a good job. But the way it could go left like that is if they get into the homelessness thing, because he's essentially a homeless person now. That's his gimmick, because he's begging for change and stuff like that. So if it becomes more about making fun of the homeless than it is making fun of Baron Corbin for being poor, that's where I think people could maybe take exception.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure we'll have more to dissect after Friday. Britt Murphy, $5, saying if it's true between Cole versus O'Reilly, Raj is going to go nuts, and I'm probably going to use that gif from Back to the Future. Hey, I've seen this one.
His favorite gif. That's his favorite gif.
He loves that.
I know.
I was thinking about this last night when we watched The Secret of My Success, then we watched Life with Mikey. And Michael J. Fox, here, I cracked the problem with Michael J. Fox's career. I figured it out last night.
Okay.
Michael J. Fox was in one of the best sitcoms of all time, iconic role in Family Ties, one of the best movie trilogies of all time in the Back to the Future series. Everything he made after that, it wasn't bad. It was just simply not those two things that we loved. And so people were disappointed. You know, it's literally a case where you almost outdid yourself so much early on that it was impossible. Yeah, I was watching Life with Mikey, Secret of My Success. I was like, these are all fine films. Not a huge Teen Wolf fan, but The Frighteners was pretty dope.
When you say he was in one of the best sitcoms of all time, I thought you were going to say Spin City.
Spin City was even pretty good. No, but it was actually pretty good.
But I mean, Charlie Sheen was better than that.
Yeah, actually, I did like the Charlie Sheen. I do agree with you. The Charlie Sheen seasons were actually funnier than the Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But yeah, it's just, that's the thing, though. It's like you do something and it establishes you. So Johnny Gargano, in a way, the way is like Johnny Gargano's Spin City. Because we had, you know, DIY, which is like his Family Ties, and his Back to the Future was Gargano Ciampa, and now he's got his third.
That's an amazing analogy. I really like that.
So are you saying that you don't think The Way is as good as anything he did beforehand? Because I think that'd be valid. As funny as he is in The Way, I mean, peak Johnny Gargano was like the best wrestler that company had ever seen.
Yeah. You enjoy it, and he's funny, and it's entertaining, but you are not, I mean, come on, like, you were rooting for that kid in DIY, and you were really rooting for him in Gargano versus Ciampa, where they went there. Yeah, she wasn't. I'll tell you, though, the biggest missed opportunity, but there would have been no coming back from it, was when Candace came out that time to try and stop it at that takeover, if Candace would have walked off with Ciampa. That would have been the ultimate ending.
Yes,
to that feud. And by
the way, I thought you were rooting for him, Glenn. What the hell?
But that would have been, come on, that would have just been like, holy shit. Like, that would have been, I mean, come on, that would have been, because I mean, Ciampa was really heelish in that, but that would have been like next level heel.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, Johnny Gargano was the Michael J. Fox of NXT.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Me too. I didn't know where you were going with that, but we got there.
Yeah, it's a really wild analogy, but he didn't bring it together. I didn't know where he was going.
Sometimes it works. Seller just a little bit saying, don't job Teen Wolf. You know, I thought Teen Wolf was just okay.
I don't remember it. I saw it a bunch of times when I was younger, but I don't remember anything about it.
He rides on top of a van while someone's driving a van.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool as a kid. I thought a lot of stuff was cool as a kid. That as an adult, I kind of watched him like, oh, maybe it wasn't so cool. Maybe it wasn't so good.
I think that's the case for everybody.
Yes. But then other things I watched, I'm like, this is better than I realized it was when I was a child.
Yes.
It goes both ways. So that was NXT tonight. Tomorrow night's AEW.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
I can't wait.
Very much looking forward to that.
I know. Me too. I actually get to cover it. I think you're on tomorrow, Alfred.
Oh, no, I'm not on tomorrow, so you might be taking my place tomorrow.
Maybe that's one thing. I know. Yeah. I'm filling in for someone. I'm pinch hitting tomorrow.
Have you worked with Justin before, Issa?
Yes, Justin. Well, not on Wrestling Inc., but we worked together before.
I'm looking forward to watching that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that'll be fun.
All comes together. That'll be very exciting.
Fun fact, Glenn, Justin, I sat down at a wrestling show with Justin, and he's the one who told me I needed to start recording my reactions. Awesome. I know you love my reactions. Wow. That's where it came from. He was the one that was like, you're hilarious. You should start recording this.
Friday, I had to show my wife your reaction to Roman's promo. Like, I was like, you have to check it out.
That was a great reaction, Ethan. That was really funny. I don't know if I retweeted that. I should have if I didn't, but it was very funny.
So good.
When he said that, I was like, oh man, Issa must be going crazy. You didn't let me down.
Yeah. You should see the comments on it on YouTube. Everybody was like, I had to come to your channel immediately. I'm excited to see the murder of Chris Jericho tomorrow, though.
Yeah, that'd be scary. I don't know. Chris Jericho, he's a tough guy. He doesn't have to prove himself to anybody, but he's taking some crazy bumps in AEW. And this might be the craziest thing he's ever done, because I don't care what they tell Nick Gage. This stuff is real. This guy's about that life. When they ring that bell, this is going to be a bloody match. And like, Chris Jericho's in for a friggin' fight.
It's going to be insane. Did you see that interview that MJF did? And they were like, if that's what you have for part two, what's going to be for part four? And he's like, there won't be one. And I'm like, I love that answer.
Look at the gimmick. He's so good.
I know.
No, I think it's going to be exciting to see what happens. Man, Nick Gage, like, is one of the realest MFers.
Yes. Oh, he's real as it gets.
2021, and he's white New Jack. That's what he is. It's real to him. He uses weapons, and he hits you as hard as he can, and it's going to be crazy.
But when he talks, though, he says it. And in a weird way, I feel like he's the biggest baby face in the industry. It's so weird. Like, the connection that he has with the fans and his real life story. He's like, this dude is such a baby face. But, you know, I mean, he's a badass. It's an awesome combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tune in tomorrow night for coverage of that. Issa, Justin LaBar. And then Friday, the three of us will be back to cover SmackDown. Yay!
Hell yeah.
What will Roman say this week?
What position will he reference? Will we get a reverse cowgirl reference this week?
And on that note, everybody have a good night. We'll get you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.